Chapter 2. Eric sat on the edge of the ship, watching the waves hit against the weathered wood. They were only a few hours from Kodak's port. This had been the routine lately. Once a month, either the Goblins of Trail or the Dwarves of the Lafour would hire them to fight a battle that would never actually get played out. It had been this way for almost a century. The Dwarves started hiring the Kodak mercenaries first, so the Goblins began to hire them as retaliation. Several hundred years before, Trail had been the only settled land of Paedonor. It had been a mountain kingdom and yielded great prosperity. Human, dwarf, and elf had lived in peace. It wasn't until the arrival of goblins did the world begin to turn. The goblins were welcomed at first. They worked hard and were accomplished miners. It was said they were born of the rock from the sea and found their way above the water. Others believed they came by boat from the southern islands. In either case, they brought with them gambling and alcohol. The elves were the first to leave as the goblin influence grew. The last elf had been seen in Paedonor 50 years before Eric was born. The mystery of the elves' disappearance was still highly debated. The humans and dwarves had tried to create a new government to help keep the goblins in check. The goblins rebelled viciously, and the humans retreated north to found the kingdom of New Trail. The dwarves stayed behind. They fought for years until they were driven west into the great forests of Lafour. There the dwarves built up their numbers, and for the last 100 years had been waging war trying to gain their mountains back. Kodak was a kingdom of mercenaries. It was founded by a group that split from the men who founded New Trail. Whoever had the most gold got the help of the Kodak army. That changed from year to year between the dwarves and the goblins. This last time was paid for by the dwarves. Next month, Eric thought, it will be the goblins. We will flex our muscles and some new deal will be made, but nothing will be resolved. Eric noticed the shadow of a man loom large behind him. He knew its owner, and it brought a smile to his face. "For the love of the three, just sit down next to me, Mark. You don't have to wait for permission. There is no rank among us until we are actually on a battlefield." Mark was easily twice the size of Eric, and his skin was the darkest anyone had seen in Kodak. Eric was himself a very strong and tall young man, but nothing like his friend. The two soldiers sat in silence for a while, watching the water. They were good friends when off the boat, but Mark would never act casual while on the way to or back from a job. It frustrated Eric, but not enough to say something truly mean or rude. "When we get back, Brienne says she will make us our favorite meal," Eric said, finally breaking the silence. Food always made Mark smile.
"What deal was struck this time, you think?"
he asked. "I don't know. It's not my place to know. It's their politics," Eric answered. "We are just the sword."
"I like fighting for the dwarves when we actually get to. They fight with us."
"They are the better race to fight for, I agree. The goblins are fun, too, though."
"I don't like to drink the way you do. Can't handle my beer."
"A big guy like you? I could never figure that out. 2 pints and you're a crazy dancing fool. It takes almost a barrel to get me sloshed." The two friends laughed and reminisced about the goblin parties that always took place before a battle. They talked and ranked the different beers they had tried and discussed winning some gold and losing lots in the casinos and taverns that were built into the mountains themselves. They had been making this trip for a while now and had many memories to laugh about. The sun was setting when an alarm sounded. Eric jumped up with a start and looked toward the east. Black smoke billowed up from the port town in Kodak. The ship sped up. Mark stood.
"What do you suppose happened?"
"I don't know," Eric responded. His stomach sank, thinking of his sister Brienne.
"Who would be stupid enough to attack Kodak?"
"Nothing human." Eric pointed to the sky. Flying above the port town were winged creatures dropping flaming items on the buildings. Hundreds of the creatures circled over the town. To Eric, it seemed like hours rather than minutes to get to the landing site for the ship. He drew his sword, grabbed his shield, and jumped off, running with hundreds of other soldiers toward the flames. Archers stayed behind, and the first flurry of arrows brought down the winged creatures Eric had seen from the distance. Now, up close, he could see their frail bodies, hairless and twisted. They had maws that were mangled with protruding fangs, unlike anything Eric had ever seen before. Even the ugliest of goblins didn't compare to these nightmares. Eric ran into the town center with the others. Mark was by his side, as always. The bodies of the flying demons lay scattered around them. The smoke from the burning buildings of the port town was being lifted into the air, helping the mercenaries see what was coming before them. Through the open entrance of the city was a long line of monsters marching towards them. The army was a swarm of misshapen creatures carrying jagged metal weapons. Most had scales that Eric assumed would be as hard as his own armor.
Other demons wore armor pieced together from fallen foes. As the horde got closer, it split and began to surround the city. There were thousands of them. By Eric's count, his side had at least 200 men from the boat and another 300 in the center of the town. The archers let loose another attack, keeping the south of the town and its ports clear as a place to fall back. There were more arrows this time, though. The archers from the town had joined the fray, Eric thought. Good. Brianna's with them. She is safe. The warriors of Kodak could feel the army coming closer, inching its way from the outside. The town center was an open cobblestone courtyard. In the day, it was filled with training sessions and food vendors. At night, it was a place of quiet reflection and sometimes music and entertainment. At this moment, there were 500 highly trained men and women with weapons waiting for the first creature to spring out and attack. The soldiers could see the still glowing eyes of their enemy in the shadows of the alleys between the houses. Some of the fires illuminated the hunched and distorted bodies of the beasts. The first creature to leap toward the group was a Clawdash, a cat-like creature covered in scales and massive as three grown men. A small demon rode atop it. The demon used its tentacles to wrap around the beast to hold on as it pounced at a Kodak mercenary. In one quick move, the soldier split the cat-like thing in two and caught the tentacle demon with her spare hand. The demon flailed and tried to escape, but its fate was sealed. The mercenary crushed its head in her hand as the horde descended on the Kodak army. The battle lasted less than 10 minutes. Not one mercenary was lost. All but a few of the monsters were slain. Those left alive were allowed to retreat in hopes that news of their defeat would discourage more of them returning. Eric looked around to find Mark already washing his large warhammer. He walked over to his friend and began washing his sword as well.
"The three heard my prayers. I finally got to fight."
Mark smiled. "That we did. You okay?" Eric asked.
"Wish it would have lasted longer,"
Mark replied. "You know, I hear women say that after they leave your bunk most nights." Mark looked up at his friend and splashed him with a generous helping of tainted water. Eric wiped his eyes, and the two laughed. "What the hell did you two boys bring back with you?" a voice from behind them asked. "Your suitors, of course, dear sister," Eric joked. Brienne walked up to the two of them, throwing towels at their faces. "Clean up. You and Mark are needed at the response meeting. As usual, archers are on cleaning detail." She turned on her heel and began to walk away. "Brienne!" Eric shouted. She turned around, slightly perturbed. "You okay?" She smiled. "Now that you two are back?" "Yes."
"I guess this means that the dinner you promised us is going to be delayed?"
Mark shouted, as Brienne walked away. Without turning around or stopping, she replied to Mark's query by raising her middle finger to the two of them. Mark and Eric went to their bunkhouse, which seemed to have escaped the fire demon's attacks, to change their uniforms and wash. The bunkhouses were small, with two rooms and a shared living space. Everything was monochromatic. The shared room had dirt floors and a table with two chairs. Nothing decorated the walls except their names and ranks. The rooms with the bunks had some personal items from Eric and Mark's childhood, but nothing too flamboyant. Each had a wash basin, and they quickly cleaned themselves, washing away the battle that had just ended moments ago. A young boy knocked on the door and entered. He carried a basket filled with clothes covered in the black blood of the slaughtered monsters. He collected Eric and Mark's uniforms and basins, then quickly exited. Another boy, a few years older than the first, entered with new uniforms and clean water basins. It was all very routine service. The younger soldiers worked to clean the basins and wash the uniforms in the evenings and trained during the day. This was life in Kodak. Mark and Eric made their way past the town square where the bodies of the enemies had already been removed. The cobblestone was currently being washed. Craftsmen were on roofs replacing straw and wood planks to the bunkhouses and stores that had been damaged. In a matter of hours, Kodak would appear as if no battle had occurred.
"Busy for nighttime around here," Mark said. "Hasn't been so busy this late in a long time. Actually, I can't remember the last time Kodak was attacked. Was it ever?"
"It had to have been attacked in the past," Eric answered. "Why else would we have policy in place for repairs and cleaning?"
"Who do you think did this?" Mark asked.
"Whoever it was, they underestimated who they were dealing with. Those creatures had the numbers, but they were untrained and sloppy fighters. I don't think they will attack us directly, again." The two arrived at the longhouse and opened the large wooden doors. They were the first to arrive and took seats next to each other on one end of a large table. Eric always enjoyed looking along the walls at the weapons of past captains and famous Kodak soldiers that decorated the room. Most of the weaponry was ancient.
Some had names and stories that were passed down from generation to generation. Other ranking soldiers began to arrive. Braden and his friend Jax walked in and sat across from Eric and Mark.
"How many?"
Jax asked, taking his seat.
"It's not a competition," Eric replied.
58,
answered Mark, ignoring the irritated look Eric was giving him. Jax laughed and applauded the number. The four talked of their best kills of the night. Four other soldiers walked in and sat, followed closely by two archers and a fighter tending to a wound on her arm. The table was loud with stories and laughter until the captain walked in, followed by two small boys carrying paper, pen, and ink. She stood at the end of the table. Everyone stood in respect as the room immediately grew silent. The captain was the tallest woman anyone in Kodak had ever seen. Her true name had been lost when she'd been named captain of Kodak more than 20 years ago, and she had led the mercenaries ever since. Eric had heard rumors that the captain was part giant, and seeing how she towered over everyone in the room, he almost believed it. She was a hulking brute of a fighter, more massive than any man, and the greatest warrior in the room. She was dressed now in full armor adorned with medals showing her many acts of valor and courage, and her scarred face was grim.
"The mountains of Ponaleve. That's where the creatures came from. We are not expecting another bout with them, but we will be suspending future contracts until we know we are safe. Jax and Braden, you will head to New Trail and send word back to us on whether they were hit. Eric and Mark, you will take Brienne and head north to the Grey Mountains and investigate reasons for the attack. Stop at the town of Ridden while you are out and discuss their defenses. Everyone else here will send personal messages to our clients explaining the situation and letting them know what has happened. I will give it 8 days before we begin to honor contracts again. Get some rest. You will all leave tomorrow after breakfast. Travel packs will be in your bunks by morning."
The captain exited the room. The others stood in respect and followed behind her after receiving paperwork from the boys. Eric couldn't help but smile at his friend. Mark was as excited as Eric had ever seen him. It was a funny sight to see such a huge man almost skip with joy when handed a mission. Eric was excited, too. Going north with the two people he cared about most was more vacation than mission. The fact that Brienne was asked to join was a good thing. That meant a promotion in rank was in her near future. The two men entered their bunkhouse.
"I've never been further north than Ridden,"
Mark said. "I've been to New Trail once," Eric said, trying not to brag. The morning came too quickly for Eric. He wanted to stay in the warm bunk, but Mark was up and ready and rushed his friend up and out the door in the morning. The town center was pristine, with no sign of the previous night's battle. Tables were set up and food was out. All the fire damage seemed to have disappeared. The smell of smoked meats, cheeses, and bread hung in the air. The two of them ate their breakfast and found Brienne.
"Did you eat?" Eric asked.
"Of course," Brienne replied. "It's a full day and night walk to Ridden. I will need my strength."
"No horses?"
Mark asked.
"We get horses in Ridden. We walk the first leg," Brienne replied.
"Makes sense, I guess." "So you have been briefed?" Eric asked his sister.
"Yes. I'm intelligence on this mission. You're leading, and Mark will act as watch."
The three checked their bags, weapons, and provisions, then looked back at their people one last time before they took their leave. The captain greeted them at the edge of town, handing them each a bag of coins for their travels. She explained that they were to be used for the purchase of horses and any emergency that might come up. The three nodded and set forth. Kodak was part of the great grasslands that covered most of Peydenor. It wasn't a kingdom as such, but it had territory as a kingdom would. It shared borders with the Trail Mountains to the west and the Freelands to the north. It wasn't long before the port town was behind the trio of soldiers. Eric saw on either side of his group temporary guard towers that were being constructed. They were siege towers that had been modified to meet the new defensive needs. Eric waved at the workers when they passed one close to the border between Kodak and the Freelands. The port town was now so distant they could no longer see it. The dots of the towers were behind them after another few miles walking.
"We will reach Ridden proper in the late night," Eric started. "It will be 2 days on horse to get to Ponaleve. We have enough food for there and back, but hunting might be needed if we want to eat better."
"I can do that," Brienne volunteered.
The group walked for hours in silence. Eric was planning on what to ask the king of Ponaleve.
Mark was too excited, lost in thought, and Brienne was in deep concentration on the job at hand. It was during this quiet that the group heard a rustling in the taller grass. Brienne's bowstring creaked as she notched the arrow. Eric put out a hand, telling her to lower her bow. He motioned to Mark, who drew his hammer and walked over to where the noise had emanated. Eric watched his friend, keeping his hand close to his sword. Mark stopped. The big man looked down, then back up at Eric and Brienne, then back down again. In a slow scooping motion, Mark reached down and brought into sight a small creature, appearing lifeless, but wearing a strange tailcoat and tunic. Mark brought the thing closer, carrying it with one hand so others could see it. It was a small demon. Its green-scaled skin was stretched taut against a small frame, revealing the malformed skull underneath. Its eyes were sunken, its teeth jagged and sharp. Two small horns protruded from the side of its head. It was injured from the night before, but still alive. Eric was surprised one of the things had made it this far, especially one so small and weak. It wasn't even wearing armor.
"What do you want to do with it?" Mark asked.
"It's a him," Eric said. "Bree, would you heal him, please? We may want to ask this little fellow a few questions. It might be nice to have some insight before walking into the mountains further north." Brienne held her hand over the small creature. It was no bigger than her forearm. She concentrated, and in a green flash the creature's wounds were healed. Its eyes opened slowly, but when it noticed the humans, it began to scream and thrash, trying to escape. Mark tightened his grip in a threat of what he could do with just his bare hands. The demon froze, but continued to breathe heavily. "Do you speak the common tongue?" Eric asked. The demon nodded its head quickly. Mark loosened his grip. The demon sprang at Brienne, who caught it and threw it to the ground. The demon began to scamper away, but with a quick draw of an arrow, Bree pinned it down through the leg. Eric walked over to the vile creature. "It would be wise for you not to run," Eric said. "Were you sent here by the king of Ponyleave?" The demon stopped thrashing and nodded. "If we spare your life, would you be willing to help us traverse the mountains so we may have an audience with your king?" Eric asked. Eric could see the demon searching the eyes of the other two humans to see if he could be trusted. The demon nodded. Eric took a step back as Brienne walked over to the little beast and removed the arrow. The creature screamed in pain. She held her hand over its wound, and in another green flash the little beast was healed. Brienne then waved her hands over the demon's head, reciting words from a dead language. "Under the eyes of the three, you are now bound to us, demon. Have you a name?" Eric asked. The demon stood, examined its leg, and ran again. It didn't go too far before the binding spell took effect. It was as if the tiny monster had hit a wall. It got up and continued to try and run with no success, continually slamming itself into an invisible barrier.
"I think he has had enough," Mark said.
Eric looked up to his large friend, and then made his way over to the dizzy imp who was clutching his nose. Eric picked him up and asked again, "Have you a name?"
"Wren,"
the fiend answered, holding his broken nose. "Very well, Wren. Are you hungry? We have food. Brienne will also fix your nose." Eric took Wren over to the others. They spent a few moments checking out their new companion. They made sure he had no weapons, and from what they saw, he had no magic of any kind. They decided not to interrogate, and instead gave him food and treated him rather nicely to win him over. It didn't take much, and Eric seemed to think Wren might have been enjoying his new surroundings.
"So will you help us get to Ponyleave?"
Bryn asked, packing away leftover bread and cheese.
"Yes, but we must hurry."
The demon's pleasant demeanor changed to one of dread.
"The queen is ill. She's the one keeping the hordes at bay. The king is mad. Look to the north. If the clouds over the mountains turn red, it will be too late."
"At bay?"
Mark chimed in.
"The horde was not at bay last night."
"The mad king sent us to Kodak, on a whim, as a punishment or as a threat. He wasn't clear or making sense."
The group went silent for a moment. They felt pity for the little beast. "Let us make our way to Rhydon. There we can make plans," Eric said. He looked up to the north and saw the clouds darken over their destination.